Hey everyone, welcome back to Citywide Blackout, your home for music, movies, and more. I'm your host, Max Bowen. It was 4 years ago that lifestyle writer Hilary Scheinbaum took a bet with a friend to take part in Dry January, a month-long abstaining from alcohol, and she's done it every year since. This led her to further explore this concept in her new book, The Dry Challenge, How to Lose the Booze for Dry January, Sober October, and Any Other Alcohol-Free Month. In this episode, Hilary and I talk about the bet she made with a friend to take on Dry January, what she gained from it, and what kept her going in the years that followed. We also look at some of the new things she tried and how the bar experience changed. A trend journalist, an on-air host, a lifestyle expert, and the author of The Dry Challenge, How to Lose the Booze for Dry January, Sober October, and Any Other Alcohol-Free Month, Hilary Scheinbaum joins me. Hilary, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
Thanks. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So I would like to start with your own experience of Dry January, which is basically deciding to go alcohol-free for the entire month. It just seems to be what more or less kicked off the book. You did this kind of on a bet, but what was the bet and what was your first experience doing this?
Yeah, so it all started with a really, silly bet, and it was completely unexpected and unintentional at first. But I'm going to take you back to December of 2016, and at the time, living in New York, I was mostly a red carpet reporter. So I would basically start my workday at night, go to red carpets, interview celebrities, attend these wild, glamorous after parties, and then go home, write my story, and, finish my night sometimes at like 2 a.m. And, during these events and these grandiose parties, there would be top shelf liquor, there would be champagne. And while I didn't necessarily drink every night, it certainly wasn't discouraged or it wasn't like a no-no to not drink. So sometimes I'd have a glass, sometimes I'd have two, sometimes I'd have none, but that was my daily. And then during the day, I was actually, a freelance reporter reporting on food and beverage. So wine, beer, and spirits for USA Today and a local publication called AM New York. So I was, often sampling booze, enjoying them at my leisure as well. And just, being a 20-something in New York, I was going on dates and, hanging out with friends and attending their birthdays. And, it's easy access to have a drink whenever you want in the city. That was my life in December of 2016. A week before New Year's, I hadn't seen a friend of mine in a really long time. We went to go catch up, and his name is Alejandro. He's actually who I've dedicated my book to. And as we were chatting, we were talking about family, friends, the new year that was coming upon us, and the topic of New Year's resolutions and this trend called Dry January was brought into the conversation. And given everything I just told you about my lifestyle and, living in New York, I just didn't take it seriously. I actually just changed the subject because it didn't resonate with me at all. And so a week later on New Year's Eve, I'm at a party and I'm texting a bunch of friends, Happy New Year, who aren't with me. One of them, I texted Alejandro and I said, Happy New Year. And in my moment of tipsy texting, I suggested that we actually, move forward with a bet. I said to him, let's make a bet and do Dry January. And right before the ball dropped, he agreed. So when the new year struck, my dry challenge began, and so did his. And so, yes, it started with a very silly, spontaneous bet. And, I've repeated this challenge every year since. So that's 5 years strong and certainly a number of other dry months in between.
Let's talk about the first dry month for you. Was that a hard change to make, especially because like alcohol is such a part of your career?
That first year, I think, was the most challenging of all the years. I was not prepared. I made this bet on a whim. I, returned to my apartment that night and still had bottles of alcohol in my possession. You know, I hadn't hidden them or like, I didn't cancel any plans. I had, you know, dates coming up. I had events coming up and I just had no idea what I was getting myself into. So I think that was a lot of the challenge, was not having mentally prepared or even, you know, planned how my month was going to go. But I think, you know, like anything, it's kind of like building a muscle. Like I learned how to respond to people when they asked me, you know, why are you doing this? Especially if you're going to drink on February 1st or, you know, consume again, you know, what's your purpose? Like, what is it like? You know, what are the benefits? And this was something that I did firsthand and learned, you know? So yes, it was a little challenging that first year, but I think every year since and every, you know, dry month since, it's just become easier and easier. And, you know, there's no questions asked at this point, at least among my friends, because they know the deal.
But when you were first doing it, did they think you were joking?
I think that there were a few different responses. You know, some of my friends rolled their eyes. Others, you know, might have tried to order me a drink. I think some were a little bit salty about it. But I will say that because they wanted a drinking partner, you know, like they kind of missed their drinking buddy. And the reality was, is that I was still showing up to the bar. I just wasn't, you know, imbibing. But I think, you know, the reality is also that people kind of internalize it and they start questioning, you know, if you're not drinking, then why am I drinking? And it kind of, that can be a little bit awkward. Especially when they're not expecting to feel that way. So yeah, there's a little pushback. I think though, there were a lot of people who were really interested in seeing if there were any changes. Like I was so excited to see if I would feel differently. So, yeah, there were a lot of questions surrounding that too.
Now at the end of the first month, how did it feel to basically go back to drinking at events, parties, and dates?
Oh my God, it was awful. No, but I will say like that first initial, you know, morning after you drink again, it is definitely a shock to your system. You know, being completely sober for 31 days or any stretch of time, your body is no longer used to consuming and you don't have a tolerance anymore. So if you go back to, you know, your, I would say, quote unquote, regularly scheduled drinking habits on day one after being completely sober, your body is not going to feel great the next morning. I'll leave you with that.
gotcha.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't sound like alcohol was necessarily a problem with you. It was definitely a part of your life. It was a part of your job, but it wasn't something that had a real control over you. But that being said, going sober for just the month, did you find that there was any serious pros to it?
100%. You know, it's a big takeaway for me was going into dry January 2017. My belief was that as a busy New Yorker who, you know, was a freelance writer and jumping from event to event and having, you know, many different jobs at one time, that I thought I was a naturally terrible sleeper just because I was running on adrenaline and had a lot of anxiety. And what I learned was that although I was sleeping, you know, maybe 5 hours a night before this challenge, that once I gave up alcohol, I was sleeping consistently, you know, 7 to 8 hours a night. And I bring up sleep too, because I think that everyone knows what it's like to sleep terribly and then have it ruin your day. And so just that alone, you know, it enhances your mood when you're sleeping better. Like it enhances your productivity. You're just like a happier individual and you just feel better physically. And so I think just that alone made such a difference, but certainly, you know, there were other benefits as well.
Did you ever consider just saying the heck with it and just going like total alcohol free for good?
That's a really interesting question, because until I think this past year, until 2020, I don't think that it was something that I would think was possible for me, just given, you know, the amount of events and get-togethers and social settings that, you know, that I would so often attend. And throughout 2020, after doing, you know, that first dry month in January, I decided in March, when things were, you know, getting crazy with the pandemic in New York, to give up alcohol for a month. And then throughout the entire year, I ended up actually having, you know, 10 or fewer drinks throughout the year. And now since this past November, 2020, I actually haven't had a drink since. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it'll be a forever thing, but as of now, I feel pretty good. So I don't have any plans to drink yet. It might change. I don't know.
All right, let's move on to the book. How did your experiences with Dry January, how did this lead to you writing a book on the topic?
Yeah, so I, you know, it's a mix of a few things. One is that year after year, especially that first year, there were a lot of questions. But, you know, by year two and three and four, I think I had it down to a science. And there were so many things that I transparently just wouldn't shut up about with my friends, including, you know, better sleep and having, you know, better skin and just feeling more elevated in terms of my mood and saving money. And I think, you know, it came to the point where it was like, all right, we get it. Just write it down and we'll read it later. We'll have something to reference. So I think, you know, it's almost better this way. If people have questions, I'm absolutely happy to answer them, but if I could go on about it, obviously, for more than is necessary. So I wrote a book.
Excellent. Excellent. I love all the things you're referencing as to like the pros of actually like giving up drinking entirely. I think the money thing resonates the most. I've actually had friends who have gone just totally sober, no more drinking. And they said that the best benefit that they found was to the bank account, because they weren't dropping like 60, 100 bucks more than that on like one night.
Yeah. I mean, what's wild is when you think about it, depending on where you live, right? A cocktail can be maybe, you know, $15, $20, you know, if you live in a big city. And also when you take into consideration, not just what your bar tab is, but also, you know, your transportation to and from, because obviously we don't want to drink and drive. And, you know, when you consider the time that it takes to get ready, and also, you know, maybe the munchies that you're eating after you're drinking, or what you're eating the next morning to cure that hangover of yours, and just the time that you're losing. I think that altogether, there are just so many things that you get back, or that you save when you're just not inebriated.
Mm-hmm. But why focus in the book on just like the 1 month? Why not just do like a basic, like 12-step book, you know, how to like totally give up drinking for good?
You know, it's a very good question. And I think that 30 days is, it goes by quick enough, but it also helps you establish kind of a pattern or a new habit. I think that if somebody had approached me and said, you know, here is a plan to give up drinking, I, you know, and here's a program, or here's something that's going to be longer than 30 days, I think I would have said, I think it's too much. But I think that 30 days is like, or 31 days, whatever your month is, even 29 if it's February, it's easily, it's more like digestible almost. You know, you can plan that far out without feeling, I think, overwhelmed. So
I definitely agree with that, because it can, if someone says, okay, stop drinking forever and ever and ever, it can seem like this huge, huge like mountain of a task. Instead say, okay, just do this 1 month. It maybe the experience says, okay, I'm just going to stop drinking entirely because the month worked well. I'm better for it. I don't need it.
Yeah. You know, and I think the beauty of doing a 30-day stint of not drinking, or, you know, taking on any kind of really beneficial challenge, is really just seeing how it impacts your life as a whole. I definitely went to my first Dry January curious about what the benefits would be, but I didn't know. I didn't have a goal or plan. I wasn't like, yeah, I can't wait to sleep. Like, I really didn't know. And I think that it really differs for everyone to see what outcome, you know, does occur. But certainly there have been studies that show that people who embark on a dry month end up drinking less in the, you know, 6 to 9 months that follow. And certainly for me, that was the case. And ultimately, you know, year after year, I've drank less and less. So while dry January and, you know, sober Octobers and dry months are not a, it's not a recovery plan, it's not a substitution for recovery. I think that if you are an individual who is looking to cut down on drinking in general, it could be a pathway to, you know, consuming fewer drinks throughout the year.
How about your social life? I imagine giving up drinking for just even like a month can really impact things. Did you find that you had to just totally find new things, new things to do?
Yes and no. So I actually still went to the bar. I was just drinking, you know, soda water or asking for a non-alcoholic beverage, and still hanging out with my friends and enjoying their company. I will say that I think in more recent years, I've, you know, gone out to those venues less and less and really just made other plans with the people that I want to spend time with and, you know, kind of just pivoted from late nights and drinking to going, you know, to the park or doing another activity that we enjoy, you know, going to a fitness class or what have you. So I really do think that it's both, you know, and I think the upside of that is that you can still bond with the people that you care about and you can still meet people just doing other things that you really enjoy without, you know, feeling like trash the next day. So, yeah. And I think, you know, the same goes for dating. You know, the first dry January and the second one that I did, I was single. And I think that it was almost kind of a relief for some guys that I would go on dates with, that it wasn't another interview style sit down with a glass of wine or a cocktail. Instead, it was, you know, going to an ice cream shop or doing, you know, an activity like bowling or rock climbing indoors because, you know, it's cold. But things that, you know, you can just kind of bond and get to know each other and still have a flowing conversation without it, you know, involving drinks. So I think there are other options is my point.
I get you. And, you know, outdoor like rock climbing in January in New York, I'm sure there's someone who might actually want to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be outdoors so often in New York in January, but that said, you know, I think that there are a number of indoor activities that are wonderful that, you know, people can do together.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the new things you did as part of the dry January that wound up sticking with you?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I definitely have a greater interest in non-alcoholic beverages, which I think prior to all of this, I would have maybe not have taken as seriously. But I think that industry in itself is just booming. And it's just so wild to taste these beverages that taste just like wine or just like beer. And it's not this like, you know, watered down substance that you feel like isn't being taken seriously. So I think that's really cool. And yeah, I just think that, you know, I learned that it's okay to be like, I'm not drinking tonight and not feel awkward. I think that's a really big takeaway as well. But I think the, you know, the overall experience, like just really, like we were saying, like the sleep factor, the saving money, like my skin was just glowing for a month instead of, you know, feeling dry and dull as it does in winter. And you know, no expensive facials necessary. It was just kind of naturally not dehydrated anymore.
Okay. How about the date plans that didn't like involve going to the bar, like some things that were like totally new for you that you said, you know what, I'm going to keep on doing this.
Yeah. You know, it's very interesting to me because I think there were a few people who may have not directly pushed back, but kind of given, you know, a little bit of an attitude of like, well, why aren't you drinking? Or kind of like teased me about it. And I think that for me, it might have served me very well as like a red flag, and not because they were drinking, because obviously I totally respect everybody's decision, but certainly not supporting me and, you know, my endeavors, because I think that it's really important to date someone or, you know, be in a relationship with somebody who is supporting your ideas, especially if they are healthy ones. And so I think it's like a, it's kind of a really great indication of just how supportive or open to your ideas, you know, that other party might be. They can still drink, but, you know, don't make me feel bad about it.
Now, obviously, writing is nothing new for you, but writing a book, I'm sure that there are some new challenges here. So when it came to writing the book, what would you say was the hardest part?
Yeah, you know, I think at most, my longest articles are, you know, top at like 2,000 words. And the dry challenge, I'm actually gonna, I don't even know how many. It's definitely between 45 and 50,000 words. So I think that in itself, just, you know, having kind of this elongated period of time where you are dedicating it to one subject was just different, because I think at most, you know, I spent like maybe a month or two or three on an article. But writing that many words and, you know, doing the research and working with a publisher is definitely different than news. So that was, it was a cool experience for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, this book was released through HarperCollins Publishers. What kind of feedback did they give you, and how do you think it really helped the book?
You know, I think that the book was really well received, especially in media. And I certainly still get emails today, and people will tag me on Instagram, you know, with the cover of the book, or they'll point out pages that they really love and they'll comment on it. You know, I feel really lucky and honored to have been featured in a lot of amazing top tier publications and broadcast, including Good Morning America and Dr. Oz and The Washington Post, The New York Times, The Wall Street Journal. And I think it was just really overwhelming. And I just, there's no other word just to say that I felt so honored that people, you know, would feature the dry challenge. And I think that it's also just really heartwarming and amazing that so many publications and individuals are recognizing that there is a community of people who are in the kind of in between, right? They're not, you know, drinking every night, and they're not drinking every night, but maybe there is, you know, this in between of, they say sober curious, or, you know, just kind of just giving yourself a month to be without alcohol. So I think it's really cool that, you know, people are more open to it now.
Mm-hmm. Were you nervous when the book was finally released, knowing that this is going to go out to the entire world? Everyone's going to see it. Everyone's going to basically get your advice about doing this.
Yeah, it's stressful. I mean, I got to tell you, you know, it's, you never know. You never know. I've written articles that I thought were completely non-controversial, and I've gotten emails where people are like, this is bananas. And I'm like, what are you, what? Like, you know, like, just, you never know. And on the other hand, like, I've written things where I'm like, oh, this is definitely, you know, an interesting topic that might spark some conversation, and then nothing. So you never know, but it's always, it's great to hear from people who are reading, because, you know, they are actually taking it in, absorbing it, and giving you direct feedback. So yeah, I was scared, but I think it turned out okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've talked to a number of authors over the years, and I find that when release day comes, they do two things. Eyes glued to the phone, waiting to get those like emails and the reviews and the comments. Others just chuck the phone and go for a walk in the woods and totally unplug. Your release day, where were you? What'd you do?
Where was I? On release day, I was at home. I actually had to do a few virtual interviews for, you know, broadcast publications and a few online outlets. I think I did 5 interviews that day, and it was on a Tuesday, so I was like working as well. So it was a busy day. But you know, I too was like on my phone all day. I was refreshing Amazon, if I have to be honest. I was just curious if people were buying it. But the following day, it was either Wednesday or that Thursday, I went to Strand Bookstore and I actually signed a few copies. So I think the week as a whole was varied, but there were definitely days where I was like staring at my phone. And then there were other days where I was like, I'm not going to look at any of my electronics. So both.
I get you. I get you. I imagine one of the hardest things is to not sound too pushy. So my question to you is how do you balance it? How do you encourage them without sounding like trying to like drag them into it?
My approach with Dry January among, you know, my friends and certainly with the readers of this book is it's your experiment. It is completely up to you if you want to, you know, partake in this. And if it suits you, then that's awesome. And, you know, if you are going through this challenge and you end up drinking one drink or you have a day or night of drinking, you know, call it a one drink January and continue on. It's not about being perfect. It's about being very kind to yourself and just understanding that, you know, alcohol is so prevalent in our society. It's part of birthdays, it's part of celebrations, it's part of, you know, even like the worst of times. If you lose a job, if you lose a loved one, it's part of what we, you know, think when we are grieving. And so throughout that range, just know that like it is part of, you know, our society's everyday life. And so when you're making a change like this, like the most important thing is just to do your best. But it's, yeah, it's not about, you know, being a perfectionist or getting angry at yourself or being hard on yourself. It's really just about like observing, you know, what relationship you have with alcohol. And, you know, if you are without it, you know, what are the benefits of that?
How society views people who don't drink?
Yeah, it's so interesting. I think at this point in my life, I think, you know, when I tell my friends I'm not drinking, they're just like, it doesn't even phase them. It's just like me saying like, oh, I don't want a coffee right now. You know what I mean? Like there's no pushback. There's just respect and like acceptance. You know, certainly I have received pushback in the past. And I think that, you know, you see online like these memes about not trusting people who don't drink and like how you can't have fun without alcohol. And I think the flip side of that is like giving up alcohol doesn't mean you're giving up fun. It means that you're just gaining so many other things. You're gaining more time. You're gaining better sleep. You're gaining not having a hangover. You're gaining that Saturday morning, you know, that you normally wouldn't have. And so I just think it's, you know, opening people's perspective to the positives. And you can still, again, like go socialize with your friends. You can go hang out at a bar. You're just not, you know, consuming the same liquids.
One of the big pros is that you will actually remember everything. You won't be sick the next day. Probably have a lot more fun.
Yeah, that's a big one, I think, you know, is just maybe not remembering conversations with people or worse. I mean, obviously, you know, there are a lot of health issues that arise, you know, with alcohol consumption that are certainly not on the table when you're not drinking. So it's really exploring, you know, how alcohol affects you and like the bigger picture.
Now, we talked earlier a bit about the response, and this has gotten some rave reviews. You've been featured in a number of different interviews and publications. Two-part question, were you expecting it, and what was your reaction to seeing the response?
I was really, first of all, I should say that I think that it has been gaining a lot more traction, just dry Januarys, dry months, you know, this sober curious movement. I think that Gen Z and millennials are drinking less than, you know, the generations before them. And so I do see this as a trend in that direction to a degree. And so I think that is really amazing. But, you know, I think the response was just overwhelmingly positive and really blew me away. I had hoped that people would be receptive, but I'm really glad that they were. And, yeah, you know, like I was saying, like there have been a number of emails that have come into my inbox. And there was actually before my book was released, I think it was in May, I wrote a story for the New York Times, and it was about, you know, sheltering in place without alcohol because I had given up booze for a month in March. And a woman wrote me pretty quickly, I think within the week that my story published, and she thanked me for writing the story. I obviously had never met her. She said that, you know, she was raising her children and she was thousands of miles away from her family. And, you know, she read my story when she was drunk in bed one night and knew that it was time for her to give up alcohol. And so it gives me chills thinking about, but when my book published, she had ordered a copy. I didn't know this, obviously, but she wrote me again and said, I received your book in the mail and I want to thank you again. I've been, you know, 6 months sober. And so I think, you know, again, my book is not about necessarily being sober in the long term for, you know, more than a month or a lifetime, but I think that it really does put things in perspective. And I think that maybe there are other people out there who've experienced that or read my work or, you know, read the book and decided this is a lifestyle change that I want to make. Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, it's kind of crazy because I'll never not know, you know, I won't know unless somebody tells me. But yeah, I think, you know, that it really warmed my heart. So, you know, beyond the press stuff and the Instagrams and things of that nature. Yeah, that one woman really, she changed. And I think that's amazing.
Oh, definitely. One thing I like about this is that for people who are battling alcohol addiction, it can seem like an impossible task. They can say, no, I can never quit. It's too big. It's a mountain. But I think your approach is a good one because it's about just taking it one little thing, do this one thing and kind of see where it goes. But do you see this as a book for someone who is facing this kind of problem, or is it more for those who are a little just curious about trying out the sober lifestyle?
I think that if, you know, there's an inkling of a thought that somebody might need to approach recovery and give up alcohol forever, I don't think this is the book for them. There are definitely other resources and tons of other sobriety books and programs that I think are a fit. I think, you know, the Dry Challenge is more so for individuals who are social drinkers, that are feeling like maybe their weekends are escaping them, but they aren't, you know, looking for a recovery program. I think it's, you know, the Dry Challenge is great for doing something with your friends. Like I obviously recruited Alejandro to embark on this journey with me the first year. And yeah, I think it's like, it can be a bonding experience. It can be, you know, just something that will open your eyes to a new idea of, you know, how to spend your time. So I think, yeah.
I'm curious how Alejandro feels knowing that he more or less helped to start this book. Have the two of you had a chance to talk about that?
Oh, yeah. So I actually did not tell him it was dedicated to him until, so his birthday is in August and my book came out in December. So on his birthday as a present, I, you know, sent him a screenshot and he was like, what is this? And so it was really nice because I had been keeping that from him for a very long time. But in full transparency, you know, Alejandro lost our bet that first year and he has not bet me anything ever since then. And personally has not completed a dry challenge. I think, you know, he's attempted it obviously and it didn't go well for him. But that said, you know, he, for the amount of time that he was sober during that month, there was an immense amount of support for me and what I was doing. And it was great to, you know, have him there as my sober month support squad until he was no longer, you know, being sober for the month. But yeah, like we laugh about it now, you know. I'm also really close with his sister. And so, they're like family to me. So yeah, he's definitely supportive. And I think it's just funny to think about, because we were just having, you know, like a normal dinner, and now it's a book. So yeah, it's kind of crazy.
You never know. You just never know.
You never know.
Exactly.
Everyone go to dinner with your friends and then make bets with them, and then you'll publish a book. I'm telling you.
Solid advice. I like that. That's sound advice. Has this changed your own career though? Where so much of it was kind of connected to the world of like booze and nightlife. Have you had like different ideas for like stories or pieces?
It definitely has, you know, especially that first year I was contributing to USA Today and AM New York. There's also another publication that I had been contributing to and writing specifically about booze. And I remember, you know, explaining to my editors that I was going to have to pivot. So I was focusing more on the food side of things. And I was also focusing on more of like the non-alcoholic beverages. Like I think I pitched something about a juice cleanse that month. And so, you know, at this point in my career, I don't usually write about food and beverage. I definitely focus on other things, you know, like weddings and other lifestyle trends. So it definitely has, it has impacted my career, but not in a negative way. I think it's just opened up, you know, different opportunities, other topics, and and definitely helped me explore, you know, more of the sober, curious, and non-alcoholic and alcohol-free universe. So like I said, like, you know, if you're not drinking, you're not writing about drinking, you can still have fun. You can still write about other things. It just kind of opens up your time and opens up your perspective.
Is there another book?
Maybe. Not
good
yet.
Good answer. I like that.
You'll be the first to know if there is. But time will tell, I guess.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Hillary, thank you so much for talking to me. I really appreciate it. And folks, if you want to get your copy, it's The Dry Challenge, How to Lose the Booze for a Dry January, Sober October, and Any Other Alcohol-Free Month, available on Amazon and other major booksellers. But in the meantime, where do folks go if they want to learn more about you and check out your work?
Yeah, they can follow me on Instagram. I'm Hillary, H-I-L-A-R-Y, writes, N-Y. Also HillarySheinbaum.com. Don't worry about spelling. I'm sure Google will fix it. And, those are the two main places. So let's be friends.
All right. Hi, this is singer Kate Eppers, and you're listening to Citywide Blackout.
All right, folks, that brings this episode to a close. You can follow the show on Facebook under Citywide Blackout and Twitter and Instagram under Citywide Max. Listen to the show on Podbean, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Amazon Music, and every Saturday at 10 p.m. on Boston Free Radio. As always, keep those ears open.